So, Professor Hübner, what do you think about the latest legislation proposed by the President Donald Trump vis-à-vis seven countries from the Middle East, Muslim countries, banning not only ordinary citizens but also refugees?
Yeah, well, I think in a certain way it didn't come as a surprise because the whole campaign was about migration and the threats coming from migration, and we have it also in Europe. So I think that expecting that in the US there will be a discussion on the reform in this context, that was quite likely, but that it will come in such a way as a decree of the president trying to identifying actually countries selected on the basis of religion, of faith, and addressing also the challenge coming from the flows of refugees, not just citizens, but refugees. I think it all came to us in Europe as a surprise in terms of reaching far and also in breach of the Geneva Convention, the international commitments that we all have, including United States, that refugees who flee the wars, who flee danger, conflicts, that we are all committed and we are obliged in line with the international law to give the protection. So it came as a surprise, and I think it both about the content of it and also the way it was done. So I guess Europe was shocked, maybe not entire Europe. We are also divided on those issues in Europe, but most of us were in shock, surprise against what we had, and hoping that this will be reversed and that we will maybe hear apologies. And but nothing happens like this, so it comes as a surprise. And at the same time, it's very much in line what we have heard during the campaign, and also it's very much in line when it comes to the form of action by the new president, very much in line with his form of acting at the beginning of his presidency.
You heard in the parliament the high representative for security and foreign policy, Madame Mogherini. What do you think about her reaction? Was it adequate in the name of the EU28?
You can always, I mean, find people who like to hear something stronger. You hear, you have also people in European Parliament who thought that it was far too far. But I think the reaction was well balanced, but also straight to the point. And I also, what was important is that High Representative for Foreign Policy pointed to the fact that we are in a situation both in Europe, between in relations between Europe and America, and generally in the world, where we have to invest in unity, when we should not or must not invest in further divisions in areas where, or speaking about issues which are extremely sensitive, clearly pointing to the need of introducing bans and making people suffer because they come or they represent certain religions, or they are coming from some countries where certain religions dominate. It was, so I think she pointed to the inadequacy of the of this of this comment, of this decision of the American president. And I think she also was very clear that issues like this and reaction or decisions taken in such a way and on such issues, they are not facilitating the dialogue between Europe and America, and they are not adding positive elements to the relationship between us. So I was very much in the same line. I think I would see her reaction as needed, and at the same time, I think sufficiently balanced to point to the bad side of it, and also not really breaking the relations with America, which are for us very important.
Don't you afraid that it won't be the last time such a reaction might be needed, and we could start entering a period when often the United States take decisions which are against the European values, and the European Union should again and again be pushed to react, to defend its values, which could lead to worsening the, these relations with Washington.
We cannot exclude this path, I think, in the months and years to come. I think that we should not pretend we don't hear or we don't see what is happening, and I think we should react. And we should also use all the possible channels of our relationship that we have developed over the last 70 years to also try to have an impact and to make clear that what is important in our relationship with the United States of America is exactly what has been always a tradition, that it's based on sharing common values. And you might remember we had in all the discussions which we had on the negotiated for years transatlantic investment and trade agreement, where we were using this argument that it should be easy and also needed for us to negotiate, because we are really the community of the same values. We are very close. We are the closest two partners, I think, in the, across the world. And now we see that those values, which we hope that America is represented by its president, is continues to be committed to those values, and we see that this is not the the case. Of course, we know that it's what the president is saying and unfortunately also doing in terms of decisions is not always supported by the Congress, by the legislative power. We also know that even his party, the party he's representing, which is the Republicans, they are also divided on those issues which are so bluntly coming from the mouth of the president. So yes, it is going to be a very difficult period for all of us, and I don't think that we should compromise on our values, so that we should stick to the commitment to those values and be very clear that we expect the same from America. At the same time, I think that we also have to continue talking. I still believe that with America what will matter, what should matter, is dialogue. So I think that we should use all the possibilities of having a dialogue with the American well, administration, I think, without doubt, where we have common interests, but also with the American president, to make him understand that what he's doing, Europe will never support, and that there is a risk sort of losing this partnership, which I think is not only important for Europe, but it's also fundamental for America. And this America First slogan and this all those steps that lead to certain isolation of America in the global context will not sort of help the efficiency of American of Americans in coping with global challenges. America is a huge country, it's a continent, but it also needs trade, it also needs international agreements, it also it's part of the global order which actually America has created after the Second World War. So I think it's the responsibility of Americans which must be taken seriously. And you cannot destroy something without consequences, something as important as the global political order in which we invested a lot and where and which is also going through difficult times, because we are living the world of conflicts, of wars, of global new global powers emerging and rising in power. So I think that we should make everything as Europe to grow ourselves, I mean, in terms of political importance and economic importance, to take over what America seems to be losing. That's also part of our, not only opportunity for us, But I think it's also part of our responsibility for the global peace and global order. So I personally hope that if we don't manage to get America back on board for its global role and to get them back to our family of shared values, then I think it puts on us terrible big opportunity, responsibility for playing the role in the global world, which increasingly belongs to us as Europeans.
Your convictions and belief in the European projects are very well known. Being the Commission and working in the institutions, and more and more we hear about voices that Europe is already on its own. We should unite and be independent global player. But as you pointed out, we are divided still in many ways. For instance, in Valletta now, the leaders will discuss how to stop flows from migrants. This is just one example. Do you believe Europe could really be independent from the United States? We know about the security guarantees with NATO. We are counting, of course, to the global superpower, but also economically. Can we really construct our union given the fact that Donald Trump is praising, for instance, Brexit, and he encourages other member states to leave the European Union? Do you think it was on purpose, or it was really something like a hidden agenda here?
You know, this is actually the most shocking statement coming from America, and I think this is the first American president that probably happened after the Second World War that would believe or would think that America can benefit from divided Europe. I remember myself over the last two, three, even decades, all the statements of American presidents, both Democratic or Republicans, and also the chief advisors of the president, the State Department, the state secretaries, and everybody, all the American politicians who were involved somehow in looking beyond America and global affairs and transatlantic relations. Never, ever anybody believed that divided Europe can be in the interest of America. And I think that was the right approach, that in the interest of America has always been a united Europe. And we all remember the also involvement of America in taking the Berlin Wall down, or the end of the Iron Curtain. And so I think that then in contributing also to the to building the united Europe on many occasions in many aspects, and I remember even my discussions with President Clinton when he was in Warsaw, that when he was talking about Romania, that we don't forget about Romania, that one day they should come not only to NATO but also to united Europe. He didn't mention Bulgaria at that time. I just think that there was what was at stake was lack of sort of at that time lack of faith that Romania will make it to the European Union. But we did it. We all did it. So we are here.
But he came to Bulgaria, Clinton, actually.
No, I think he didn't. He there was the moment, I don't remember exactly, but I think there was the moment where you remember when you were together on this path to European Union. There were moments when Bulgaria was doing better, and there were moments when Romania was doing better. So I think that was the moment when Romania was not, I think, doing everything on time, and so he was concerned with this. So that was always in the interest of America and was well understood. And all of a sudden we have a president in America who believes that a divided Europe, a Europe which is dismantling itself, which is going into pieces, which is just having member states leaving the European Union, that this is something that might be good for America. I think it's a huge, huge mistake. It's lack of understanding. I think it's just we have to assume that This president does not know Europe and does not know exactly what he's talking about when he's mentioning it. So I hope that this myth of divided Europe as something good for America will disappear soon. But for us in Europe, it means that we have to do everything to be stronger, and Europe's strength is the basic condition for Europe's strength is unity, without any doubt. We know that even the biggest European states do not mean much in the global context. We are all small countries, and we are, as a continent, still a small, tiny peninsula attached to huge Eurasia. So I think we have to be united without any doubt. Secondly, we have to also do better on economy. We have to do better on within Eurozone. So there is a lot of reforms which still are pending, and we have to complete Eurozone. We have to also invest more to have growth and to be more innovative. We have to complete single market. I mean, today the completion is about energy and digitalization. Tomorrow it will be further step will be needed. So it's a permanent, I think, challenge for all of us, and we have to think how to make Europe really work for new generations, for young people. So we have a lot to do to make Europe economically, socially stronger, and then we can be a global power that will be also more effective in various conflicts, in looking for solutions, in supporting and helping. And we also have to show again to the rest of the world the face of sensitive Europe, open to the concerns of other people, to poverty, to people fleeing from wars and poverty. So we have to also show also to Mr. Trump that what should be the civilized reaction to the refugee crisis, which is not coming to the end, which we will have for probably for decades. The situations around the world, it's not only Africa, it's not only Middle East, we can still see a lot of that in Asia and America, in Latin America or South America. So I think we will continue to have all those problems related to the refugee crisis, and we are aging, and America is also aging. That's why this wall was Mexico will not help, most likely, to bring new talents and new brains to America. So America especially has, in fact, developed its power on the inputs coming from migrants. Everybody there is a migrant, except for the Indians that are still there. So I think that Europe, without any doubt, to be a global... I hesitate to use the word power, because it's I think we in positive sense, no, as somebody who can be a guarantor of peace, somebody who can bring also development aid to others, and so I think Europe must be strong in the global context, and today global strength comes also from the capacity to cooperate with others, because I think today it's also for America important that they continue to have the capacity to be friends with others and to develop cooperation. And you cannot see China as enemy that you have to fight against. China is a huge potential with which you have to cooperate, and you have to identify areas where we can cooperate. So Europe is working on it. We have problems also with the competition, that we are not... finding the easiest solution for this. We have a lot of challenges to face in the global world, but what is fundamental is capacity to cooperate with others. And the statements of Mr. Trump, and also the actions by the new president, they are not really showing sufficient potential or sufficient will to cooperate with others. And I think this is a fundamental mistake.
A final aspect. So far, it was Russian President Mr. Putin who was accused trying to divide European nations, yeah, especially on the sanctions issue, but not only. And we remember that another Republican president, George W. Bush, succeeded in dividing the European Iraq. Europeans in Iraq. Do you think it is the same trend and style with Donald Trump to use some sticks and carrots to propose something to some states if they would enter his eventual agenda, whatever it might be? At the time, I remember he proposed with the coalition and the willing some visa-free regime for some other benefits for others. And finally, it was a deep political division within France and Germany, especially, and Eastern Europe, Spain, and the UK, of course, which is now actually leaving.
Well, it is true that Europe has been for 60 years, practically since 57, if we just start with the Treaty of Rome, in the process of building integration, of building unity, of identifying common interests, common good, on building instruments, policies to work together, to develop the networks for cooperation, for unity. And I think we, from time to time, we are sort of facing the challenges on which we are united, on which we are not united, on which we are divided, and certainly the president of the Russian Federation has had for years, I think, used this policy of divided impera on the European territory. For years, we in fact had in the area of energies, especially, we have not been united in our attitude to Russia. And for the first time, it was Ukraine and annexation of Crimea, and then the war in Donbas and in the east of Ukraine that made Europe united. And for at least 3 years, we have been also in a united way, because we always need unanimity for sanctions, and they have been extended. This summer, I think, will be a test, because this period of 3 years is coming to an end. So
yeah, Putin didn't succeed in this
divide.
True. But whether Trump will succeed.
No, but it was not only Europe that was finding itself, its capacity to be united on sanction. It was with strong cooperation, and I would even say sometimes a push coming from President Obama, from American administration.
Also.
So we were united in a transatlantic way. Also on this, because I think we understood, we managed to convince each other that only united we can win this task, no, this challenge, which is Mr. Putin intervening on another territory of another state in Europe, and by his policy or the words he's using, President Trump is just actually saying that he prefers a divided Europe, and that it is in his interest that Europe be divided. And especially we have heard even from the candidate for the ambassador of U.S. In the European Union, those statements on the end of Euro and divided Europe. So I think that this kind of narrative will disappear in a couple of months, that finally we will see one day also the impact on the policies coming, maybe not only from the closest advisor to Mr. Trump, but also from his new appointments. Those people will start to travel, will start to talk, all those sort of minister in European language, and they will start to also bring, I think, new ideas and new understanding of the situation and different perspective, which they don't have, because they had no experience. And Mr. Trump especially is a president who has not been prepared to be a president of America by his education, by his, I think, experience. And so I think it will come, probably the change will come. So I hope that Europe will not lose its patience, that we will not lose our capacity to talk, to have a dialogue, because I think that would not be good for anybody. But it's a moment where this we were always treated like a younger brother by America. So I think this is the moment where the younger brother has to show the common sense, and America is here to stay. They will not disappear. So we will have to live, and we need each other without any doubt. So I hope that we will that the day will come when Europe will be able to talk as a partner with America. But in the meantime, we just have to build our strengths. So we have to invest more in common foreign policy of Europe and common defense policy of Europe. So we use really this opportunity, which comes from the weaker support of America in the area of defense, of security. We have to survive those comments on NATO. And but we have to make it very clear that we this is the moment which we should use to build European unity around those tasks which for the time till now we have not solved, which is exactly the European defense, for example. And so I hope that that we are also using this opportunity which Mr. President of the United States, Donald Trump, is providing to us, that we will use it for the benefit of Europe and for the benefit of the world. And so I hope. But why do we have to go through such difficult period and just going back actually on so many issues because of the results of the elections? It's difficult to understand. It's probably will be still decades of studies and books will be written to understand those phenomena. But Europe has to just face the not only the challenge but also the opportunity we have to use now.